You're listening to The Ladies' Room. Say hi to your co-hosts, Marianne McQueen and Trish Twilley.
Good morning. It is Monday, October 13th, 2014. I'm Marianne McQueen.
Hey, and I'm Trish Twilley.
You are the one and only Trish Twilley.
I'm it. You are
in hot Atlanta.
A very hot Atlanta. Actually, it's kind of cool Atlanta a little bit. Never know what you're going to get in Atlanta. My little girl went swimming Saturday night, but it was a cool and breezy 70 yesterday afternoon. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get.
No, it's been a little warmer than usual here, but no real complaints. It's beautiful to be alive in Southern California any day of the week, even if it's Monday.
Mondays are okay. They don't have to be bad.
No, they don't. And Mr. B always says, you know, you can always start your day again if it starts out bad. So
I didn't remember that. Yeah, I usually don't remember that till, I don't know, bedtime.
That's not always a bad time to start things up, but that's a
it's really not.
That's a whole different story. So a lot going on. It's been an interesting weekend and a lot of bad news. So we've decided collectively that we don't want to talk about a lot of that bad stuff. I'm tired of Ebola. I'm tired of war. I'm tired of all of that. So why don't we talk about history? How's that?
Hey, and today in history, October 13th, do you know anything good that's happened on October 13th?
Not that comes to mind.
Except it's Monday and you're alive?
That's all I know.
On October 13th, way back in 1958, a very familiar bear was invented. The first of a series of books featuring Paddington Bear is published in A Bear Called Paddington. You know what I'm talking about? The little bear with the raincoat. And
I actually do. That's the one that I always thought was a pervert because he was wearing a raincoat.
Well, it was the watches inside the raincoat.
Well, that was different. Yeah, those are the ones. Hey, want to buy a watch? Want to buy a watch? So how old does that make Paddington
Bear
now?
He was born. Are you asking me?
All right. So what year was that? Tell me.
1958.
That makes him 56 years old.
So he's an old pervert.
He's an old coot.
Yes. The first story was about a bear who found a Paddington railway station in London by the Brown family. The books are written by Michael Bond and illustrated by Peggy Fortnum. I know neither of those. Do you?
Nope.
The much-loved stuffed Paddington bear toy with his Wellington boots did not appear until 1972 to 1973. So you didn't see him with his cool rain boots and rain jacket until a long time after the book came out.
So he was naked most of the time.
Yes, it was. So the story got worse.
See, I know Yogi Bear. I know Smokey the Bear. I know about teddy bears, which came about during the Roosevelt administration, Theodore Roosevelt. But I was never a big Paddington Bear. Did you ever have
one? It was in the UK mostly. So it was not really around here. So, you know, it was a UK thing.
Yeah. All right. What else happened beside the bear?
Well, all the way back in, this is a very important date in history. Okay. All the way back in 1983.
Yes.
Well, that, interestingly enough, mobile phone service, Ameritech Mobile Communications, provides cellular mobile phone service to the general public in Chicago. This was the first mobile phone service for public use in the United States. Then we are moving on to, this is another important date. In 2005, in the USA, iPod was introduced. Apple introduced a new iPod capable of playing video at a resolution of 320x240, starting at a mere $299.
Wow.
Yes. And see, you're in New Yorker.
So I am.
Yes. And you know, you guys are used to snow. However, way back in 2006, in Six or Six. There was a snowstorm. A state of emergency is issued in Buffalo, New York, following 2 feet of snow falling during the afternoon and last night. 400,000 are without power, and most schools in the area are closed in the worst areas that were hit. New York, Buffalo, Amherst, a driving ban has also been issued, as up to 80% of roads are impassable, including parts of I-90. Do you know what that is? Because I have no idea where I-90 is.
I kind of know, but not exactly know.
So you're supposed to know that if you're a New Yorker. I mean, I think I know all things Georgia, right? I think I do.
Don't make me start quizzing you.
Oh, gosh. Anything except Jimmy Carter. Uh-huh. Then the last thing. Back in 2008, and I remember this well, after suffering a meltdown in the markets in the preceding weeks with the Dow Jones Industrial Average falling below 7,900, markets rally with a gain of 936 points, its highest ever one-day gain.
So let me ask you a question. You got a lot of money in the market?
Not anymore.
Yeah. That's kind of true anymore. For most of us.
Yeah. Hey, I remember when many, many years ago, I went to work for Home Depot's corporate office, and that was when they were just building all of their stores everywhere. And of course, you know, I was young too. I decided to play the market game. And I didn't keep it in there long enough, I don't think. I would be a rich, rich woman had I left it in there.
The only stock that I made a boatload of money on, Intel stock.
Really?
Yes. The wonderful thing about, for years, that stock kept splitting and splitting and splitting. Unlike hair, this is good when it splits. So that was a good thing. All right. Anything kind of sexy or weird happening this day in history in October 13th?
I didn't find anything sexy. Did you find something sexy?
Hell no. That's what I was asking.
No, it must have been a rough times, dry hump day. I don't know.
Oh, that's so sad.
Poor them.
That's a sad thing. All right. Are we curious as to celebrity birthdays, maybe?
We have a few celebrity birthdays that you may or may not know. And today, musician Paul Simon. Name a song.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See, I didn't name it. I sang it.
You didn't. You are good. You are very good. I think I only know one Paul Simon song, and I don't know that I can recall the name of that, but the video is with him and Chevy Chase. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you can call me
out.
You can call me out. Yeah, that one.
That's the only one I know. Paul Simon is 73 today.
Damn, he's reached Geezerville.
Ah, yeah, poor him. Lacey J. Dalton, do you know who that is?
Who? Say again. Lacey. She's got to be from your neck of the woo.
I don't know that if she is from here. She sings a really cool song, 80s Ladies. You should look that up. She is 68 today. Oh, and how about this? Damon Wilson, do you know where he's from?
God, why do I remember that name?
Damon Wilson.
It's a sitcom, right?
Sanford and Son.
Oh, isn't he a minister or reverend?
Yes. He is 68 today.
You got anybody that was born like after that?
I do. Some of them are disputed. Hey, listen, this is a good one because I'm shocked that he is this old. Sammy Hagar.
Wow. Van Hagar. Let me think a minute.
He took David Lee Roth's place.
Correct.
Didn't he?
He sang, yeah. How do I know when it's love? Let's see. I'll bet he's got to be 60.
He's 67.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And only little Osmond girl, Marie Osmond, celebrating a birthday today, and she is double nickels, 55.
55. She is crazy as a crap house rat. Serious.
You know her.
I clean that up. She's just a bit of a kook to me. She's all teeth and plastic surgery.
Well, and she's got 4,000 kids. So yeah, there's a reason she's crazy.
As Stewie would say, it's probably like throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Well, I don't know. I think a few of them are adopted. Maybe one or two, I think.
All right, we'll go with that.
So Sacha Baron Cohen, he was born not so long ago.
He's otherwise known as
Bork or something. What is he? Borak.
Yeah. Or moron or Borak.
I think cleaner when I hear that. He's 43.
Oh, Borat is how old?
43. That's not old. You shut your mouth.
No, I asked how old. I was trying to figure out if I thought, okay, he's happy young. Birthday, Borat.
Good yeah, and him. The last one, the singer Ashanti. Is that how you say her name?
Yep.
She's just a baby at 34, and I can't tell you one song she sings. So anyway, that is your celebrity birthdays for today, October 13th, and your day in history.
Well, that's interesting. That's kind of, so we've had birthdays. So I think, you know, living in Hollywood, one of the things that's important to us is the weekend box office when it's Monday.
You know, and I'm horrible with the weekend box office because who has time to go to me? I want to meet the people. I think they're the same people that go hang out with their laptops at Starbucks and drink coffee. When I grow up, that's what I want to do. I want to go to movies, and I want to have time just to go to Starbucks and use their Wi-Fi and just hang out and sip coffee.
Well, I'll tell you, that's how most people do small business meetings these days. Not to get off track, but, you know, there's no point, even as we do these shows. I do it from my Hollywood home. You do it from your Atlanta home with that beautiful porch that I saw. And seriously, if I'm going to meet somebody, we either go have lunch or we hit a Starbucks. I see no point in sort of spending all that rent because then I have to charge our clients more money. But, okay, so here's what happened at the box office. Have you heard all about Gone Girl? Which was based on a book.
You know what I know about Gone Girl?
She's gone?
No, Ben Affleck has got a full frontal nudity in it, I think. And Jennifer Garner was talking about that.
You know, I heard about that. He's a white boy and
he probably shouldn't have done that.
Nah, he's probably got the angry inch. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking that one of us need to go see this movie and take our camera phones.
I say that I look for a copy. I'll ask somebody for a picture because I know that somebody online has probably gotten a bootleg.
Okay, well, I'm going to do that. You know, folks.
Yes.
So nobody in Atlanta would do that. We're good-hearted Southern folks, and
true,
we wouldn't take naked pictures of Ben.
So that was number one for the week. In its first week, it made $37 million. That's a lot of money. Followed right on its tail was a horror film, Annabelle.
And that's the one I want to go see.
No, that would scare the poop out of me. I'd just die.
Oh, you know what? When we meet, we should go see that.
Okay. But you're going to hold my hand and give me a Xanax.
Okay. But you can't sleep during the movie.
Oh, damn. All right, I'll think about it. All right, maybe we could see The Equalizer with Denzel.
Oh, that sounds like a guy thing. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, but Denzel's still hot, even as he gets older.
Yes.
In its second week, and it's very typical in a second week for movies to drop, but it made almost $19 million, but in 2 weeks has made $64 million.
That's not too shabby, is it?
No, I wouldn't sneeze at that. And then kids' movies, The Box Trolls. So that came in not bad, $12 million, second week, total of $32 million. Some interesting movies, here's a good one, Guardians of the Galaxy, which came out, 2.5 months ago. That is still in the top 10 and up to $323 million at the box office. Total gross.
I don't know. That's crazy. What's it about? Who's in it?
Everybody's in it. It's one of those crazy movies with lots of great voices, lots of great superhero type people. And I think a lot of kids likely went to see it, families. Interestingly, the other movie that's out of the top 10, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that's been out for a week shorter, so 9 weeks, at $188 million. So again, these are the movies that came out in the summertime, and typically that's when the big blockbusters come out. Kids are out of school, families are on vacation. And then even Angelina Jolie's film that came out, gosh, more than 4 months ago, Maleficent, $240 million. So it's just crazy, absolutely crazy. And then you have, I have to mention this, so here's the flip side. So all those movies are hits. The Expendables, which has all these kind of old farts in it, like Stallone and Schwarzenegger and all these. So get this, it's been out for 2 months and it's only made $39 million. Mm. And you have to think that the salaries on that alone had to be a boatload of money. So let me just put it this way. That ain't good. So we're sorry, Hollywood. Some of you made money. Some of you didn't. What we're going to do is when we come back, we're going to talk about a variety of things, some local Atlanta type news and some creepy stories in the news and the most expensive hamburger. So this is Mary Ann.
Hey, and I'm Trish.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
We'll be right back in just a moment. We'll be right back. the Ladies Room.
And we are back at the Ladies Room Radio Show. I'm Marianne McQueen.
Hey, and I'm Trish Twilley.
All right, Trish, tell me what's going on in the southern part of our country. What's shaking, bacon?
Oh, well, big sports news is happening up in here. And you know that I'm not a big football fan. I'm not a big pro football fan. I can deal with college football. I don't like pro too much. But the leading Heisman Trophy contender, Todd Gurley, was suspended indefinitely on October 9th while the school investigates a possible NCAA rules violation.
What did he do?
So an anonymous source is saying Georgia was investigating whether Gurley, he is a junior there, was paid a mere stinking rotten $400 to sign 80 pieces of memorabilia this past spring. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Georgia football or football in general, but apparently Gurley is the man this year. So, I mean, even my niece, you know, everybody that are Georgia fans, when it's football season here, you know, it's a Southern thing. Everybody has got their Georgia shirts on that say, I'm a girly girl. My son went to the game a couple of weeks ago, and the highlight was getting there early to see Todd Gurley. It's big news here, big news. But the guy who is in trouble is the dealer. For making Gurley break the rules, it says. Now, my thing is that Todd Gurley, even though he's a student, he's a junior at UGA. He's not a kid. No one made him sign anything. But by law, there's a law that prohibits student athletes from receiving benefits because of their athletics reputation or skill, other than the benefits specifically authorized by the NCAA legislation. So receiving money for autographs or memorabilia is a clear violation. So he knew what he was doing. But there's this local guy, his name is Brian Allen, is in big trouble with the UGA fans. I mean, they want his head. He is the collector, the guy that had the stuff. He could also be in trouble with the university because he said that he enticed Todd Gurley by paying him to sign autographs and then snitched to the media that he did it. Ugh. So he could end up paying with both his checkbook as well as time in jail for this.
Wow.
So this guy in an interview on it was a YouTube video from a local Coosa News thing because he's from Rome, Georgia, which is very, you know, really close to Atlanta. And he says his sports memorabilia store has pretty much whatever the avid sports fan would want in branded gear. But since then, the store's closed and Allen has disappeared.
Wow.
But the thing that is clear is that he has retained one of Atlanta's premier attorneys. And you know who it is? You want to know who his attorney has represented?
Who is it?
The Baltimore Ravens star, Ray Lewis, who got him off of the 2 murder charges in Atlanta several years ago.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, you know, the question is, the big deal is, it's not even a question. This kid, well, he's not a kid, but, you know, was suspended indefinitely.
For
$400.
Okay.
The leading Heisman Trophy contender.
So here's
$400.
I feel like this about high school and college sports. In high school, we really see, you know, where the talent is. And so you have these great young athletes being developed. Then they go to college, and they're not supposed to take a nickel because it is amateur. However, we all know that the reason college football is so popular is because it's a huge business. Many of the college coaches make as much as NFL coaches. It's the reason that some students choose to go to certain schools. It's just because, you know, oh, they got a great football team and a great reputation. And those are all marketing tools for the schools to make money, including room, board, tuition, books, and everything else for that matter. So for $400, really? That's insane.
$400. Yes. Well, it's investigating. But I'm wondering why indefinitely? I mean, there were other players, I think even last year, that they didn't get suspended indefinitely. What I'm interested to see how this story is going to pan out. But even though I'm not a big football fan, I can't help but wonder what his future holds over losing this for $400.
It's $400. I mean, I'll give them back the $400.
Yeah, I just want to know what he did with the $400. I just want to know what he did with it.
Well, based on what I've heard, it's going to sound bizarre. So did you tell me a story just recently about going to one of your son went to homecoming?
Yes. It's homecoming season here in the South.
So let me ask you, would the $400 have just covered your son's part of going to homecoming?
The $400 would not have covered the suit that sent my son to homecoming.
Wow. So yeah. That's how little it is. So I'm curious about this homecoming because I do not have children, mm-hmm. but I do want to get a sense. So do they wear tuxes, suits?
No, they don't wear tuxes. Although the girls have really, when I was in high school, it was almost like homecoming, unless you were on homecoming court, you wore almost like a Sunday type thing. It wasn't real dressy. However, now it's almost like prom, and prom has turned into your wedding day, and it costs just about as much. My son, and he's the boy, so you know, you can make the girls as elaborate as you want to. But he, you know, he has to pay for the date. He has. We had to do suit. We had to do his tie alone was a Michael Kors tie. It was $65. Mm. The black shirt, just from Joseph A. Banks, was $65.
Wow.
Shoes $100. Socks $20. The date, the game. Now they don't have the game and the dance on the same night. You go to the football game on Friday night, and then you have the dance on Saturday night. So he had to go to the football game. You know, to get into a high school football game now is like $8 a person.
Dang.
Yeah. So you have that. Let's see. What else? What other expense? Oh, flowers. We had, you know, the flowers for her, flowers for him. Pictures. You got to do pictures.
Right.
It's safe to say that my son, it cost my son, or it cost me, to send him to homecoming with his date, $1,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I take that. So again, you have to dress him because the average teenage boy doesn't have a really nice suit. So you've got a suit, a shirt, a tie, socks, shoes, flowers, dinner, the game, food to eat at the game. Let's call it $1,000, and they're giving this other guy a hard time for $400.
Do you know what kind of money that Gurley has made? I mean, you know, everybody wants to go to a Georgia, to the SEC game. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
You know, you're a dog fan. My kids, I'm already been instructed that I'm supposed to be finding Georgia Tech tickets for my son and I to go.
I see.
I mean, it's just he wants to. It's just something that they all want to do. But the Gurley situation and him being a player was big. I mean, everybody wants to go see him. My son did. He was a big drawing factor for Georgia. And now, but you know what? Georgia won yesterday.
Woo-hoo!
So it's okay.
That is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's an awesome thing. So, okay, so live and die by the teams. All right. Any other crazy local? You know what? This is a good time to talk about, it's not so much a shameless plug as it is one of those giving back to the communities. So let's talk about the big event on November 1st.
There is a big event on November 1st called Dancing with the Stars of Cobb County that is happening at Lassiter Concert Hall in Marietta, Georgia at 7 p.m. It is going to benefit, and all proceeds go to Loving Arms Cancer Outreach, which is a nonprofit organization in my area who helps people in our community and local communities, a lot of North Georgia, or you could even say probably the whole state of Georgia. They reach out into cancer patients in our local communities and help them with medication. They help them with gas cards, grocery cards, utility bills.
Wow.
They even come mow the grass or provide a home-cooked meal for the family of a mother who might be just exhausted from treatments. They are having Dancing with the Stars on November the 1st, and I'm a celebrity dancer that
Woo-hoo!
Night.
Now, who are you dancing with?
I'm dancing with Bo Foyster, and he is a wonderful dancer from Dance Tech and Talent in Kennesaw, Georgia. He is also donating his time to teach this white girl how to dance.
Aww.
So it's a very good event. We are, I think there's 9 of us that will take the dance floor that night and competing and trying to raise a little bit of money for these people. And I need everyone's vote because $1 a vote is all I'm getting right now.
Okay, so let's talk about the different ways people can donate. How much are tickets? General admission is $10, as I recall. VIP.
Yes.
Is $20.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't there a meet and greet kind of special fancy schmancy thing?
There is, with hors d'oeuvres and meet and greet and prime seating, which are $40. And those seats, I think, are almost sold out.
And aren't you going to feed people too? Don't they get some horsey divorcies?
Yes, they do. They do. They do. And to get to point and laugh at me before the show.
That's kind of fun. All right. So
really
November
is.
1st, 7 p.m., Lassiter High School in their concert hall.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me how people text to vote as well as donate.
They can text to vote. They can text Cobb Star and the number 2. That is COBBSTAR, the number 2. And they will text that number to 71777. And that will take you directly to my link where you can make a donation, and every dollar is a vote for me on the dance floor.
That's perfect. All right. And then you're having, and you didn't know I was going to mention this, but you have some other event coming up as well locally.
I do. I have a local artist who is going to come to actually near me to what we call the Shaw Woods Clubhouse. We are meeting there with a limited seating arrangement, and they will have an opportunity to work with an artist and have do a canvas. You know, he sort of instructs you to do your little painting. It's sort of like what they used to have in the Atlanta area, and they might have had them everywhere. They were called Sips and Strokes, where people could bring a bottle of wine in and sit down and paint for the evening. It's that sort of same concept. We'll have food there. We will have a silent auction, and we will have lots and lots of fun. It's $35 a person for October the 21st. Let's see, at 6:30.
So October 21st, 6:30. $35. How do people get tickets? Do they buy them in advance?
Nope, they can find me on the Trish Twilley page, and I have those tickets.
You have those tickets. All right. So they can go to Trish Twilley. Is that the your like page?
My
we'll
radio
it on Facebook.
Page. My fan page.
Mm-hmm. Your fan page. And then they can also, we should also put that information out there on the Facebook page for the Ladies Room radio show.
On our Facebook page.
We
yes.
Should. But it's all about raising money for Loving Arms. And that money stays in the community. Everything from, again, like you said, mowing the lawn, to wigs, to scarves, to groceries, to gas money, to
medication.
Medication, the money that, you know, even if your insurance, you know, people complain about Obamacare. It doesn't really matter. If you have the best insurance, you're still not covered on all these miscellaneous things like food,
But the people forget. I think that when there's a diagnosis, I know when I went through my own diagnosis, people, the first thing they want to know is your prognosis. And they want to know, you know, and it's always a good news thing when, okay, well, she's going to live. She's got treatment. She's going to treatment and she's going to be okay. But no one ever stops and considers what that person may be missing or going through on their journey just to live.
Right.
That they forget that there's time missed at work. They're tired. They are run ragged. And even though I know the day I was diagnosed, it was around lunchtime and I was alone. And I remember I had to, it was parent day to go eat with your child at lunch. I was walking out the door to go to get Chick-fil-A to take it out there. And I knew that my daughter was not getting a lunch tray. It was sitting at that table waiting on me to bring Chick-fil-A. So I had to do it. And wow. And then later on that afternoon, my family come home and they had to eat dinner. Life went on and things still were kind of normal, whether anyone was diagnosed or not. And a lot of people don't have the support. And it really wasn't a financial thing. It was a I need help thing.
Yeah.
And that's what Loving Arms will do.
All right. I like that. So, again, they can go to your Trish Twilley. I can't quite say your name today.
TT.
TT. But, and all the information will be there. For the events and tickets and how to give. And I hope people will step up to the plate and do the right thing. All right, we're going to segue into something else, a little different. Did you hear the spider story?
Yes. And when you told me that we were going to talk about it, you forced me to go read that story.
It's like nothing else I have ever read. Now, I've heard about termites, cockroaches. I mean, you know, you grew up in New York City, there's rats and there's roaches. Just, no matter where you live, that potential is there. But this is something that took place in a place called, do you hear that in the background?
I hear that, and I know exactly what it is.
God,
my dog is thirsty.
She's drinking. I'm going to hit the bottle soon, and she's hitting the bowl. Okay, this took place in Weldon Spring, Missouri. I think that's Missouri. Or is it
yes,
Montana?
It is
Missouri. Mm-hmm. So a family, a suburban, this is just outside of St. Louis, they had bought a home, and we're not talking about a fixer. This was a $450,000 home that overlooked two golf holes at the Whitmore Country Club, again, in this town of Weldon Spring. They bought it about 7 years ago, and shortly after moving in.
So you just gave me chills.
Not only did they see spiders everywhere, they were those nasty brown recluse spiders. And the wife, the woman who lived there, one of the owners said, they were shower, like literally falling out of the ceiling, the cracks in the walls. She was in the shower one day. That's the worst time, as far as I'm concerned, to see any kind of anything, because you're naked and there's water running. And it's like, there's
that's
nothing.
That's my favorite time of day.
Well, and it's like, you don't have a shoe in the shower with you. So needless to say, they filed a, they said that, the term that they use, it's like a horror movie. They told KMOV TV in 2012, the spiders were bleeding out of the walls. And at least two pest control companies were unable to eradicate this insane infestation. So they filed a claim. Makes sense. I mean, it's kind of like you would with termites. So it makes sense. They filed a claim with the insurance company. And
in 2008.
In eight, a year after. So a year after, they thought maybe, again, these two companies, these pest control companies could do something. And they gave up a year later. And so they filed a claim, interestingly, in a civil trial in 2011. They just kind of went on and on to say that we've had enough. And they sued the people who sold them the house for not disclosing that. And that's a no-no. If there's something wrong with a house, you've got to disclose. It's part of your disclosures in selling a property. P.S. though, there were 4,500 to 6,000 black recluse spiders in this house. And sadly, it's just got a double, it's just a crappy ending.
And they said that was when those calculations were made in the winter.
Right.
When the spiders were the least active. Now, I didn't see anything about this as I did read the story because I read it with one eye opened. I wonder how close their neighbors are, how close the next house was, or if anyone else has seen any spiders. Well, now, why would they target that one house?
It's an interesting point.
And why haven't they burned it down?
I would have burned it. I would have just
burned
took
it
the
and
loss.
The no, and I would have called up somebody. Somebody would need to make a few bucks, and that would the house would have burned down while I was on vacation.
Yeah, it just had to be far, far away. But this is so interesting. There was a jury trial when this couple sued the sellers. They were awarded more than $472,000, but before they could collect that money, the sellers declared bankruptcy, and so they didn't collect a nickel. And then it gets even worse. When the Federal National Mortgage Association that owns the home now, because that's who got the house, it had to be covered with not six, not seven, not eight, nine tarps. And then they gassed the house enough to kill the spiders and all the eggs.
But the couple moved out 2 years ago. Why did it take them this week to gas the house?
So it's actually, it didn't quite happen that way. They moved out actually a year later after they tried unsuccessfully with the exterminators to get rid of the bugs. But meanwhile, it gets even worse because their insurance company, which I will not name because they're a-holes, said, we're not going to pay because in your policy, it doesn't include insects. But P.S., spiders aren't insects. They're arachnids.
Oh, we should tell them that.
That's true.
Act of God.
Or yeah, act of God. Something, but it just wasn't good. And that brings me to another insane story. So what do you typically give out at Halloween?
Candy.
What kind of candy, though?
Whatever is my favorite, because I always hope that some's left over so I can eat it.
That's kind of funny.
I love the little Twix bars and the Snickers bars and the little Reese's miniatures. So chocolate and probably everything from the Mars Corporation.
There you go. We'd like you to be the Mars Corporation if you're listening. If you're within the sound of our voices, please.
Trisha is for you.
Yes, she should be a stockholder. But so listen to this. So this is Dateline New Orleans. Oy vey. There is a 23,000 square foot facility. It's a freestanding museum, interestingly, that's dedicated to insects. It houses thousands of live bugs, including beetles, cockroaches, wasps, bees, ants, and termites. And oh, by the way, insurance company, note it doesn't say spiders because they're arachnids. Anyway, there's a menu where people are crickets, wax worms, or toothpick skewers for dipping in a fountain of melted chocolate, along with toffee, and it's made with bug legs, mealworms, and it's fudge infused with crickets and marshmallows. Would you eat that?
You lost me at mealworms. I don't even know what that is. It makes me want to throw up.
It's just bleh.
I would not eat that. No.
No. I don't get it. They say that the insect-infused cuisine is a huge draw. And thousands of people annually visit this museum's Bug Appetit. Get it? Bug Appetit. Where these critters, these six-legged critters, because I'm going to beat a dead horse and remind people that Arachnids or spiders have 8 legs versus 6. Anyway, lots of people come in. There's also something called the Tiny Termite Cafe. That's kind of funny because actually the Tiny Termite Cafe doesn't serve anything with bugs. But for what it's worth, it says the FDA allows 60 or more microscopic, first day with my new teeth, insect fragments for each 100 grams of chocolate. So it's not a huge leap to go ahead and have a whole bug. So I'm just saying, if you're interested, go to New Orleans. I have a different idea. Living in Hollywood, I have a whole different idea. You can keep the bugs because I would have something different.
What would you have?
I would have, because I am a carnivore, I must admit this, I would have the world's most expensive burger.
Yes. Okay. The world's most expensive. I would probably choose that too.
Yeah, I mean, compared to...
Tell me about that burger.
So it's kind of got everything under the sun in it. And I actually want to give you all of the...
But where can you get it? First, tell me where I can get this burger.
You might have to travel because I don't think they got it.
I don't like flying. I'm just going to lay that out there. I'm not a fan of flying.
Well, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. I don't...
Well, it's called the Glam Burger. It is considered the world's most expensive burger, and you have to hear what it's chopped with.
Yes, I want to hear.
Let's hear this. So, the Glam Burger has it's got black truffles, Kobe beef, lobster, beluga caviar,
ew,
venison, a duck egg, and if that's not enough, an edible gold leaf.
All right. An edible gold what?
Leaf. L-E-A. Okay, now ask me what it costs. Take a guess.
When you said truffles, I'm thinking like little chocolate truffles. Is that the same thing?
Not exactly, but
okay.
Not exactly. We'll talk about that on our next show. But so think about lobster, Kobe beef, which is really awesome beef from Japan, mm-hmm. Caviar, venison, which I'm sure you know is deer meat.
Hey, I knew that.
Yeah, you did. A duck egg. I don't know why that's necessary. You know, that's just crazy. And an edible. What do you think that would cost?
I'm going to say $200.
Think again.
$500.
$1,768.
Mm. So I guess you won't be eating them like little crystals, will you?
No, I think that would kind of be my budget for 6 to 8 months.
Unless you're feeding a teenager.
I guess. And for what it's worth, it is in a place in Great Britain. And it's this, again, it's this large.
Do they sell many of them? Do they say that they sell a lot?
Honey, they don't have to. But the calorie count is insane as well.
Mm.
2,618 calories.
I can eat that before 11 a.m.
It's just, yeah, exactly. All right, you probably have some of your favorite cereal or something. But for what it's worth, this one is in the Guinness Book. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have a couple of fun stories, and then we'll take you out and we'll get ready for our Wednesday show. But meanwhile, we'll be right back with the Ladies Room Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ladies Room. We'll be right back in just a moment. We'll be right back. Now, back to the ladies' room.
Two bangs.
Okay, we're almost ready.
Okay.
Actually, we are back. We are back with the Ladies' Room radio show, and I'm Mary Ann.
Hey, and I'm Trish.
And we're here to just kind of ease you back into the week. We're going to give you one more story, and then we're going to let you go. And this is a
this funny. This is my favorite story.
It's a funny one. Go for it, sister.
Oh, the funniest story. So the headline reads, husband discovers wife affair with dwarf stripper after child is born.
Huh?
Yes. Unfortunately, a bride-to-be confessed to having sex with a dwarf stripper during her bachelorette party after she gave birth to a baby with dwarfism. The unidentified man thought the child was his until birth when the mother broke down. The mother of the bride said, quote, "Once she had her son in her arms, she broke down and confessed what had happened. There is no word on whether the couple has split or not. So I don't know if the wedding went on or not."
Wow.
But I guess during her bachelorette party, maybe she might have had a little bit too much to drink or I don't know. How do you end up with the dwarf stripper at your bachelorette party?
First of all, the first person I'd go after would be the maid of honor who likely put that together. And second of all, you bring a stripper. Did she pay half price that she got a dwarf stripper? What's up with that?
Did he come out of a cupcake?
Yeah, why did he jump out? I like that. Oh, my God. And then finally, it's just like you screwed a dwarf at your bachelorette party.
I'm going to say she was drunk and just didn't remember.
Did she cry big tears or little dwarf tears? Listen, I know it's politically incorrect, but I'm sorry. That's just not good. You just shouldn't be having sex at your bachelor party. Just do it before that.
And don't do it with a stripper.
Don't do it with a dwarf because you might get pregnant.
Here is a fast Trisha fact, okay? On my 20th birthday, my sister hired a stripper. I had all of my friends there. It was a surprise party. I thought he was there with all of my girlfriends and friends. You know, everybody was there. And they told me that it was one of them's date that had showed up late. Never would have dreamed ever that my sister had hired a stripper for my birthday. And one of my friends ended up leaving with my birthday present.
Holy cow.
He was ugly, though, so it was okay with me.
You know, the only highlight of I didn't have a bachelorette party, but when I think about my shower, all I remember is my relatives stealing all the pewter stuff off the tables. That's my family. So, you know, actually yours was a lot more fun. Well, we're having so much fun, but we're going to bring this to a close for today. And we will see you on Wednesday morning, or you'll hear us on Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern time for the Ladies' Room Radio Show.
Yes, don't forget to go like our Facebook page either.
That's right, and that's the Ladies' Room Radio Show. And on Twitter, it's the Ladies' Room RM Radio Show. And we'll be talking at you again on Wednesday. I'm Mary Ann.
Hey, and I'm Trish Twilley. Bye.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this edition of The Ladies' Room.